Welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Has been given, much more shall be required. To whom much has been given. shall be required. You have given gold and silver. Will you give to him your lives? Will you labor with your Savior? Will you do as he desires? For to whom much has been given, much more shall be required.
Copy of God's Word with me this morning through the New Testament book of James. James chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 17 through 18 just briefly here, and then we'll go back to the Old Testament. But James chapter 5, I encourage you to turn there. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Last Sunday we saw how Elijah and his God answered by fire in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 40. One of the biggest moments in the life of Elijah we looked at last Sunday morning. We saw when he confronted the 450 prophets of Baal, King Ahab, the 400 prophets of Asherah, and all of the people that were gathered around Mount Carmel, and he confronted idolatry. God used Elijah to show all of them who the one true God was in Israel, and that was Jehovah. We looked at seven sections of that account of Ahab and Elijah and the false prophets. We looked at the contest, number one. We looked at the conduct, number two. Number three was the commotion. Number four was the construction. Number five was the communion. Number six was the confession. And number seven was the correction. I stated last Sunday as we closed that we are called to be peacemakers, but there are times when a battle cannot be confronted when we are taking a stand for the Lord. In those times, we need to remember the following. We must have the courage to do battle, number one. Number two, to do battle, we must be right with God. And number three, we must recognize that we often face the evil of our day by saying little and doing less. We close our time with a reminder, may God help us, like Elijah, to stand for truth and live characterized by righteousness and not compromise. You should be in James chapter 5. Would you stand with me this morning, if you are able, for the public reading of Scripture? James chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 17 and 18. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. James 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You may be seated. This morning we're going to look at Elijah on this Father's Day. And we're going to see something from his life that all of us, whether we're fathers or not, need to be reminded of on a regular basis. Elijah is going to talk to the Lord once again this morning in prayer in our passage in 1 Kings. And this time, there's truly going to bring revival to the nation of Israel, both spiritually and physically. And so with that, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning and ask his blessing on our time and his word. Father, would you help us now? Father, that you would remove the distractions from our mind, that we can focus on the word of God. Father, that as we open your word, that your spirit would speak to us this morning. May you hide your servant behind the cross. Father, may the word of God pierce us deep this morning in areas that we never even thought that it could. And Father, as we leave today, may we leave encouraged, but may we leave changed because we understand that we have done business with the Holy God. That we have allowed the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and lives, convicting us of areas of sin. And Father, perhaps there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And today would be the day of their salvation. Father, would you use your word to show them their need of a Savior? For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I've entitled this particular message, Elijah's Prayer for Rain. Go back with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. So we continue to study the life of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18, pick up right where we left off last Sunday morning. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41, it says this. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up on top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Sometimes our prayer requests sound just a little bit odd, don't they? Maybe your prayer requests sound a little bit odd. I remember during my years of high school, my mother decided that it would be a good idea for me to learn to direct her children's choir at church that was entitled Kids of Praise. And this children's choir would meet every Wednesday night, and before they would sing, my mother would give a short Bible lesson and then would ask for prayer requests from the kids that were there. Now you have to understand that taking prayer requests from little kids, you can, and maybe better said, you will get some very interesting prayer requests from time to time. I remember one of those prayer requests that still stands out to me this day, and you'll understand why in a moment. One night, a little girl in the Kids of Praise raised her hand with a prayer request, and she waited patiently as my mom went around the room, and it finally came her turn, and my mom said, "Well, what's your prayer request?" And the little girl replied, "Well, I need prayer for my kitty." My mom said, "Okay, well, what's your kitty's name?" And this is where it got interesting. The girl said, "Purple Lamb." My mother said, "What color is your kitty?" To which the little girl replied with the biggest grin on her face she could possibly muster, "White!" And we still don't know why Purple Lamb. But God knows about our prayer requests. Sometimes our prayer requests, they seem just a little bit odd, even when we're sincere, and she was as sincere as could be, that cat needed prayer. I want to share with you this morning four aspects that are always present when it comes to prayer. Four aspects that are always present when it comes to prayer, and all of them come right out of this text of Scripture. Perhaps you haven't been with us and you miss some of what's going on in the life of Elijah. Let's bring you up to speed. This morning we're going to draw our attention back to the man of God, Elijah. Elijah has just come off of Mount Carmel in the preceding verses in a victory for the one true God. And in verse 36 you see that. The false prophets of Baal have been defeated. They've been executed, decapitation at the brook Kishon. And Elijah then turns to Ahab and he tells him to go in to eat and drink, for rain is coming. Now just stop and think for just a moment. You've just watched 450 or more people be slain, and the man of God turns to you and he says, "All right, now go have a burger." Would you really feel like going and eating after you'd watched 450 people be slain because of idolatry? I don't think so. But that's what Elijah says to him. There had been a drought in the land of Israel that Elijah had prophesied in chapter 17 of 1 Kings that has now lasted 3+ years, 3.5 total years. This drought has taken place. Everything in Egypt is dry, it's barren, it's a wasteland. But Elijah knew that God would end the drought if he only was to simply pray and ask God for rain. Elijah had seen God working countless times in the past, whether it was Elijah and the widow and her son, whether it was Elijah and the widow's son dying, whether it was God's protection from King Ahab and Jezebel, whether it was the 450 prophets of Baal. God had protected him and provided over and over and over again. And Elijah has seen God do amazing things countless times in his life. And I would ask you this morning, before we even get into this text any further, have you seen God do anything amazing in your life over and over and over and over again? To remind you of one simple thing, we have an awesome God, do we not? And it's a privilege to live every day for Him. If you wake up in the morning and you say, oh great, another day, I have to go to work, you're living for the wrong reason. It's another day to live for the Lord. It's another day to do something that counts for eternity. And I love Elijah because he knew the power of God. Some of us, we don't understand that. He knew the power of God. And he never doubted the meaning of his name, which means Jehovah is God. He never forgot that. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was a sinner. He struggled. There were moments of weakness and temptation, but he never forgot who God was. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know God. And this is a reminder for you. You need to come to know Him in a personal way. He made possible that on your behalf through Jesus Christ. Let's jump into the text this morning. Four aspects that are always present when it comes to prayer. The first aspect is this. And it's kind of a given. But aspect number one is this. Faith in God. It's really simple. Prayer always starts with faith in who God is. And what God can do. We don't pray because we're somehow able to do anything. We pray because we understand God is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have a God who can do what you can't see, who can answer what you don't know, and can work in ways you've never even thought of. Faith in God. Prayer always starts with faith in God. Here is Elijah. Go with me to the text if you're not there already. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. Elijah says to Ahab, "Go up and eat, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain." I want you to note something in your Bible, and maybe you caught on to this already when I read it. But Elijah tells King Ahab to go eat and drink before he even goes up and prays. When was the last time that you walked up to somebody and you told them a direct answer to a prayer request before you even went to the Lord and prayed? Because you had so much confidence in who God was that when you went to prayer, you knew that God would answer. Boy, would it change the way that we pray, wouldn't it? If it did, every single person that's here this morning would be back on a Wednesday night for a prayer meeting if they really thought God would answer before they even prayed. It would change the way that we pray. He tells him, go and do this before he even goes up to pray. He had a reliance upon God in prayer. If you notice some things about Elijah, Elijah is not new to the prayer life thing. Elijah knew what it meant to pray and talk to God. Look at the verses that we just read. Verse 36, now it came time for the evening sacrifice, and Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that you are God in Israel." You know what he's doing? Look at verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." You know what he's doing? He's praying. Go back more and look at the things that Elijah did beforehand. He prayed for the widow's son. He prayed to God when the oil and the flour ran out. Elijah was a man of prayer. Fathers, can I encourage you something today? Be a man of prayer. I know that sounds blatant and boring, but be a man of prayer. My dad's not here, so I can say what I want about him. You know where I learned to pray? From my dad. And more importantly, probably from my grandpa. But you know what they taught me about prayer? If you don't pray big, God won't answer big. I'm reaping the benefit of a prayer request today, and so are you. when you pray that God would grow His church, guess what? God will grow His church. But we have to pray and ask God to work. Prayer. Prayer. He says, go up and eat and drink. Here is Ahab standing in the midst of hundreds of false prophets with, and I want to paint the picture because Scripture is very graphic. Here are all of these guys. There are bodies here, there are heads here, to paint this for you. He's standing in the middle of all of this. And he's overcome by shock. He's wondering, what on earth just happened? And the man of God says to him, go up to the palace and eat and drink, because the sound of rain is coming. You notice in these verses that you read already, verse 42, you have a very different contrast of people in their relationships with God, don't you? Notice verse 42. Ahab goes one way, Elijah goes the other. Let me ask you, are you Ahab or are you Elijah? You see, here he is. He says, go up to the palace and eat and drink. Somehow God had alerted Elijah to this rain. We don't know how. Somehow he told him, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. I don't know how he knew that. Someday when we get to heaven, I want to ask him how he knew that. But it said that Elijah said, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. He would not say that unless somehow he had already been notified there was rain coming. He knew God would answer. He knew that God would send rain. But how did he hear it? Scripture makes that very clear. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab goes one direction, and Elijah goes the other. This drought, as I've already said, was not an act of nature. It was rather a disciplinary measure that was sent from God to get the people's attention about their spiritually barren lives. That's going to come to a close in just a few verses. Because God is going to release the rain from heaven that's been held up for 3.5 years. It's funny. When we started looking at the life of Elijah, I find it amazing. Both times when I've preached on the life of Elijah, the moment I preach on the drought and the prophecy of drought, guess what happens? Here in Iowa, it quits raining. Both times when I've been studying or preparing to preach this message, we finally get rain. I hope this next week we don't get the rain that's been held up for 3.5 years. But can you imagine 3.5 years worth of rain? God opens the heavens. That's a lot of rain. But notice what goes on here. Elijah goes to the mountain to pray. Ahab goes back to the palace. You see, to Ahab, there was no spiritual relationship with God. He's just seen God answer by fire, along with all the prophets of Baal. He's seen Elijah correct the wrong that's been taking place in Israel by slaying all of these men. He's seen God work, yet he doesn't come to grips for it for himself. And folks, there are people like this today. There are people that have seen God work over and over and over and over again, and their hearts are still hardened. They don't want to come to Christ. And perhaps you're here today and you're like Ahab. You've seen God work in other people's lives over and over and over, but that's not for you. Ahab goes one way, Elijah goes the other. Notice where Elijah goes, and I find this remarkable. Ahab goes back up to Carmel. Where do you go when you go to pray? I wish there were mountains in Iowa. If there were, I think my wife would make me stay there or build a house there. But you think about this. He goes to the top of the mountain to pray, to get alone, to be with God. I want you to hear this. Missionary Amy Carmichael wrote this. Every day that we live, we have to choose whether that we should follow in the way of Ahab or Elijah, whether we go to the party in the palace or whether we go to the prayer on the mountain. We either walk towards God or we walk away from Him. Ahab was given a chance to walk with the Lord, but he didn't want to do that. So Elijah goes to the top of the mountain. And notice what it says he does. He bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. I don't know about you, that's not usually the way that I pray. But can I tell you something about Elijah? His genuine sincerity before God in prayer speaks way more to me than his stance. But his stance is a reflection of his relationship with God. You realize why he got down on the ground? He's in an unusual posture, almost a fetal position, and it indicates his humility before a holy God. Elijah understood who he was. He had a deep concern for the people of Israel. He had a burden for God to be glorified through everything. This wasn't a normal position for prayer. They don't do this. The typical position for prayer is standing or kneeling. He's all the way down. His face is on the ground, showing humility before God. Oftentimes, I think one of the reasons why God doesn't answer our prayer requests is because we come to Him in pride. What if we were a little bit more humble before God in prayer? Elijah goes back where he's already been, to the top of Mount Carmel. It's a very high place, a very private place, a place for him to be alone with God. Some of the deepest prayer that we have with God is in places where we're alone and we are quiet, where we're not distracted. We need places like this where we can be alone and we can talk to God about the things that go on in our lives, the things that are going on in the lives of those around us. We need a mountain. I don't know what a mountain costs, but if a mountain would get you to pray more, I'd buy you a mountain. But he went alone to be with God and to pray. Elijah's face is between his knees. It's so low that he touched his knees. And mind you, he's not doing this because people are watching him, because nobody is on the mountain except his servant. He's doing this because he cares about his relationship with God. Aspect number two, and we need to hurry through these. Persistence. You ever prayed for something over and over and over again and it almost becomes mundane? You go to God in prayer and you say, God, I really need you to answer this. And this is the 500th and you name the time that I've prayed and you still haven't answered, so what's your problem? And we treat God like that. God, I prayed over and over again that you'd work and you're not doing anything. I remember growing up, my best friend had a prayer request that he stated over and over and over again. I can quote you his prayer that he would say over and over and over again because he was so insistent that God answer that prayer request. Every single night, every prayer time, his hand would go up, pray for this individual and his family by the name of Denny. Over and over, his hand would just keep going up. And I thought, seriously, this is from the time I was a little kid to the time that I was in middle school. We prayed for this family member. And it got to the point, well, I know what he's going to pray for. I know what he wants prayer for. God's not going to answer. We were at junior boys or junior high camp, I guess it was. And they gave an invitation for anybody that had somebody that they wanted to go home and share the gospel with. And I remember I watched as my best friend went up there, and I knew that it was this guy. And I thought, oh boy, boy is he in for something interesting. You know what he did? He went home, he shared the gospel with that family member, and that family member came to Christ. But can I tell you something? There were over 10 years of prayer that took place before that. Persistence. He was not willing to give up. Notice this first prophecy of rain. It took 3.5 years ago now. And it happened immediately. 3.5 years, they've been with no rain. Immediately. And now God is seeming to work slow. Look at verse 43. And the servant said, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Sometimes God answers really quick, doesn't he? And other times it takes longer. What was something wrong? And the answer is no. And we forget this one fact about God all the time. When it comes to prayer requests, God is always at work on His schedule according to His perfect plan for our lives, not ours. We live in a world where everything is immediate. You can put a little K-cup in a Keurig coffee maker and you have coffee like that. You have microwaves. You can put the popcorn in. You don't have to sit at the stove and pop it any other way. You can go to the convenience store. You can walk in, you can get whatever size cup you want, and it's right there. We live in a world of convenience, and it's confused us about prayer. Sometimes the best answers from God don't take the shortest amount of time. Sometimes they take a while, because God wants us to learn in the midst of that. Persistence. Elijah tells his servant to go up and look toward the sea. I love this guy. Don't get me wrong. I love this servant. But can you imagine being Elijah's servant? Notice how many times he goes up. It says that he went up and he looked. And it tells us that he did this a total of 7 times. Elijah tells him, go up and look towards the sea. And he told him to do that because storms would come out of the sea. They would begin at sea, they would move inland. You know the story of the disciples. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They get out there. There wasn't a storm beforehand or else they never would have tried to cross. But as they're crossing, the storm would come up. And that's how it would work. These storms would come very, very, very quickly. They were quick moving. They were fast developing. And this servant goes up and down 6 times. Can you imagine? He's running up the mountain. There's one. He'd run up the mountain. There's 2, 3, 4, 5. And he gets to 6. Now, Elijah, give me a minute, okay? I know what you're going to ask, but just let me catch my breath. It's not easy climbing mountains. You try it. And Elijah says, okay, it's time to go back up a 7th time. Now, let me ask you, if you'd prayed 6 times, and you'd sent your servant up 6 times, would you as the servant hesitate to go up a 7th? It took effort. It took work to climb up and down these mountains and go look. But you know what I read? You read verse 43, and there is no break between the word there is nothing and the and 7 times he said go again. There's nothing. The servant doesn't say, well, Elijah, you don't understand. Maybe your God isn't going to answer you today. Maybe we'll try back tomorrow. He doesn't say that. What he says is go. And the servant says, okay, and he does. 7 times a petitioning God. 7 times. The servant comes back down after the 7th time and he tells Elijah, and I can almost see it, he's running back down the mountain. Before he was walking, now he's running. And he tells Elijah, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand coming out of the sea. I don't know about you, how many of you have 20/20 vision? Because I don't. 20/20 vision. No doubt he had incredibly good eyesight to see a cloud the size of a man's hand at sea. Most of us, we can't see a dandelion halfway across a bean field, let alone see a cloud the size of a man's hand at sea. But he sees this, and he comes back down, he says, there's a cloud, there's a cloud, there's a cloud. And you know what we're like? Yeah, it's as big as a man's hand. That's the way it is with prayer requests sometimes. Somebody says, oh, you won't believe it. God answered this little prayer request here. And we're like, great. And you're over here and you're wishing there was a huge storm. God sent this little cloud. And I can almost picture the excitement. Because he knew this was an answer to prayer. Not a storm, but the beginning of many storms and heavy rain. There's a good example for us here to watch and pray. And to continue to pray and plead until the Lord sends an answer. Aspect number 3, we need to keep moving. God's answer. If you believe that God answers prayer, then you need to say amen this morning. Because he does. Not only does it take faith in God to pray, not only does it take persistence, not only does it take God's answer. I know what it means when it rains. I'll never forget the time I was headed to Iowa Regular Baptist Camp. This was back when I used to live south of DeSoto. And right there, right as you get on I-80 and you head into Des Moines and you hit 35 and go up, I stopped there to put some gas in the car. And I got on to I-80, and as I made the bend and I started to head north out of Ankeny, I just watched behind me. And it just looked like nighttime. It had been sunny when I left, and it became dark. It looked like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm driving, all of a sudden you begin to see raindrops hit the windshield. And all of a sudden, 35 became 35, literally 35 miles an hour or less. And cars began to pull over and semis pulled off the road. And it rained, and it rained. I sat there for 20 minutes on the interstate because I could not see where I was going. That's rain. And I get the idea that when God sent the rain finally in this passage, it wasn't like there were a few sprinkles. It just poured. They didn't know what to do. And one of the reasons why God waited for this rain to come until now is because these priests have been removed. God has gotten the point across to these people. So Ahab, let's look at verses 44 through 46. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rise out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab mounts, and he rides off into the storm, headed to Jezreel. This would make a great movie, wouldn't it? Here is this guy, he's flying as fast as he can go in the chariot, trying to outrun a storm. It's not like Twister, but it's close. And it's pouring down rain, and there's lightning. This is the worst storm they've seen in 3.5 years. Mind you, there were probably people that wondered what rain and storms even look like. 3.5 years. So he rides off in his chariot. He leaves first. Take note of this. Ahab leaves first. He's in his chariot. Where is Elijah? He's still there. And I think there are a couple reasons why Ahab started out ahead of Elijah towards Jezreel. And I want to share those with you. You can write these down. Number one is this. Elijah didn't own a chariot, but he did have power from the Lord. Elijah did not own a chariot. In his own strength, Elijah wasn't much. You'll read about that in the coming chapters. In his own strength, he wasn't much. But he did have the power of the Lord. And we forget that. Little is much when God is in it. We're not strong because of who we are. We're strong because of what God can do through us as his people. Number two, Elijah is not a young man. And this stood out once again as an act that only God could do. I love watching the Olympics. You've all seen Usain Bolt, haven't you? Man, that guy is fast. And I've watched him run. And it amazes me that the human body can run that fast. Stop and think for just a moment about the picture that you have here. Here is Ahab in a chariot being pulled by some kind of a horse. We don't know what. But chariots were fast. We're talking at least 30 miles an hour. At least. Possibly faster. Depending on what Ahab had for a chariot. Here is Elijah. A 50-something year old man. Outrunning a chariot. And not just for a couple blocks, not just for a mile. Notice the scripture. The end of verse 46. He ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We would be amazed in the Olympics if a 50-year-old could outrun Usain Bolt, wouldn't we? We'd be amazed. Here is a 50-something-year-old guy outrunning a chariot pulled by a horse carrying a king. That ought to stand out to us about God. Notice what else. This is an incredible distance. I mean, maybe some of us, we could keep up with a car going 35 miles an hour for maybe a mile. Maybe. Maybe two if you're really in shape. But I don't think there's very many of you that could keep up with a car at 35 miles an hour for 17 or more miles in a row. This is not a straight line. This path that he took to Jezreel, he could not take a straight path. There is no straight way to get there. And there's debate on how far this is and what route it took. It could be 17 at the least. It could be 25 at the most. But he runs this entire distance. It's not easy. Number four, another thing. He girds up his loins. He was running in basically what I would consider to be a robe. So he tucks his robe garments into his belt and he runs. That's not easy. He's not dressed to run, but he does this. By the way, in case you were wondering, he does all of this in a pair of sandals, not Nike Air Jordans. He does this in sandals. Try running a couple miles in sandals and let me know how that feels. Or flip-flops, better yet. And it all boils down to this statement, the hand of the Lord. The Lord was with him. For whatever reason, God gave him the ability, the strength to outrun a chariot. That would have been a sight to see. But he did it because God allowed him to. And I can almost picture this. Verse 46. Ahab pulls up the entrance of Jezreel and Elijah's standing there like this. Hi, what took you so long? Can you imagine it? You'd be amazed. No doubt when he passed him in the chariot, it took him by surprise. We forget some things about prayer. One is this. Now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to descend with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We need to finish with aspect number 4. The fourth aspect that's always present when it comes to prayer is this. Glory and praise to God. Prayer is not about us. Answered prayer is not about us. We benefit from it sometimes, but it's not about us. God delights in answering prayer because of who He is, not because of who we are or what our requests are. God delights in receiving the glory and praise. And that can be seen all throughout this text. God got the glory, and Elijah made sure of that. We need to close this morning. God had chastened His people with drought and famine, but He cared for His special servant Elijah. God sent fire from heaven to prove that He was the true and living God. Now He had answered the prayer of the prophet, and He had sent the rains to water the land. And you would think today that Elijah is at the very best that he could possibly spiritually, that he could face anything, and you read the next chapter and you're like, what happened? As great a man as Elijah was, he still failed the Lord in himself at times. Fathers, today is a day that we celebrate you, a day that we express our appreciation of you. But let me ask you this today, just the fathers. Are you pointing your family toward God? Don't answer audibly. I'm just asking you to think about this. Are you actually pointing your family toward God? Are you like Elijah? Are you constantly pleading before God in prayer to ask Him to work through your life, to help you point your children, to point your spouse toward the things of God? Children and wives, Father's Day is not necessarily about you. You've got to make it special for Him. But can I encourage you to do something? Pray for your dad. Pray for your husband. Pray for him that he would be the spiritual leader that he needs to be in your family. You understand that part of the reason that the nation of Israel was in the state that they were was because they lacked spiritual leadership on the part of King Ahab. If Ahab had been the godly man that he should have been, this never would have had to happen. But because he wasn't the spiritual leader, he led the children of Israel away from the Lord. He wasn't promoting and encouraging people to follow him. Perhaps today you just needed a reminder about the four aspects of prayer. That we need to pray because we have faith in God. We need to pray persistently. We need to pray knowing God will answer. And number 4, we need to give God glory and praise no matter how the prayer request is answered. Because prayer does work. Amen. And God does answer prayer, doesn't He? May God help us, all of us, to be the kind of people like Elijah was when it comes to the aspect of prayer. We'd understand who God is and what God can do through prayer. Let's pray.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.